Hey, gentlemen, let some folks in from the waiting room. And we're already at quorum. People still have a couple more minutes.
Okay. Let me know when it's time to go.
Will do.
Don't know where you are, whether you can see outside, but where I am, it started to snow.
Oh, has it shifted? It's, I would call it a wintry mix, what's happening in Hartford right now.
I would call it a moderate snow up here.
Yeah, it's not bad here yet, but sounds like it could get worse.
Yeah, I would think late afternoon could be sloppy.
The perk of virtual meetings. We don't have to ask anyone to drive in this.
That's right.
70 degrees in Berlin. We're going to the beach.
Now, this is just like 78. This is terrible.
My kid's superintendent has announced that they're leaving them in school for the day. They're like, they'll be fine. See you at 3 o'clock.
Cars canceled.
Kurt, how is Granby so far? Because I have to drive there.
No big deal. Okay. You just call, we'll cut a path.
Thanks.
No, it's just, you know, we're watching the temperatures drop. So that's a concern. Materials down right now, just big flakes, no big deal.
Yeah, it's not even, it's melting on contact.
Yeah, this is Dunkin' Donut commercial stuff.
All right, John, we're at noon. We've got more than a quorum, so I think we can get going whenever you're ready.
I'm ready. Do we need to know that? Do the we're taping notice?
Yeah, so the recording is going, yeah, because it's already recording from the last time. So we'll cut all this out for before we post it. Don't worry. Okay. The chit chat. But yeah, just so everyone knows, the meeting is being recorded. And with that, I'll hand it over to John.
Thank you, Kara. Welcome again, everybody. And I will call the CROG Transportation Committee meeting for Monday, January 23, 2023 to order. And again, ask Karen if she would be so kind as to call the roll.
Thanks, John. Good afternoon, everyone. We'll start with the town of Andover. Avon.
Harry Burrell here.
Berlin.
Resident accounted for.
Mike Ahern here from Berlin, too.
Thank you. Bloomfield.
John Coleman here.
And Jonathan Teesey.
Thank you. Bolton.
Therese Carson here.
Canton, Columbia, Coventry.
Todd Penny here.
East Granby, East Hartford.
Doug Wilson here.
East Windsor.
Len Norton here.
Ellington. Enfield.
Donald Nunes here.
Farmington. Farmington. Glastonbury.
Dan Pennington here.
Just a heads up, Karen. Russ Arnold is present. He just must be stepped away right now.
Okay, so thank you.
He's here.
Thank you. Granby.
Kirk Severance.
City of Hartford.
Frank Dollar Ripple here.
Owen Deutsch here.
Thank you. Hebron.
Kevin Kelly's here.
Manchester, Mansfield.
John Carrington here.
Marlborough. City of New Britain.
Oh, Mark Moriarty and also Rob Trotter.
And CJ Ganza as well.
Oh, thank you. Plainville.
John Bossy here.
Rocky Hill.
Steve Saltblack here.
Simsbury.
Adam Kessler here.
Summers.
Todd Rowland here.
South Windsor.
Jeff Doolittle here.
Southington.
Annette Turnquist here.
Stafford.
Way here.
Suffield.
Aaron Isherwood.
Tolland. West Hartford.
Greg Summer, good afternoon.
Weathersfield.
Derek Greger here.
Willington. Windsor.
Bob Jarvis here.
Windsor Locks. Is there anyone here from GHTD?
Hi, Mary Bijou is here.
Paul McNamara is here.
Is there anyone else from any other town or any organization?
Peter Hughes.
Oh, thanks, Peter.
Jennifer. Grayson Wright from CT Dot.
Thank you.
I'm trying, Karen. Jennifer Carrier, Federal Highway Administration.
I heard you. Thank you.
Chuck Harlow with Fuss and O'Neill.
James Culpa, VHB.
Is there anyone else?
Eric Lindeberg from Jacobs.
This is Don Costello from Prime AE. Thanks.
What was the organization?
Prime AE Group.
Thank you. All set, John.
Thank you very much, Karen. Welcome, everybody. And we will move on to the public forum. Is there anyone here from the public that wishes to address the committee at this time? Hearing none, seeing none, we'll move on to adoption of the minutes. I'd entertain a motion to approve the minutes of the meeting we held on December 19th, 2022.
I will make a motion to approve those minutes. Those aren't the minutes that you have up there, though, just so you know.
Oops, that was an oversight. Apologies.
That's okay. I think they were sent out with what Karen sent. So I did see them. So moved.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Devin Copperweight, second.
Thank you. Any additions, deletions, or corrections? Hearing none, all in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And abstentions. Again, if your name and your town, one at a time, please.
Larry Burrell, Town of Avon.
Thank you.
Aaron Isherwood, Suffield.
Thank you. Any other abstentions? The minutes for December 19th, not the ones on the screen, are approved as distributed. Move on to staff reports. Roger, 60 seconds for safety.
Thanks, John. So for our, I posted this Everyday Counts initiative from Federal Highway Administration, reminding the importance of nighttime visibility for safety. And it's a little two-page sheet. It has a couple good links and just some good information that nighttime fatality rates are 3 times higher nationwide than daytime rates. And 76% of pedestrian fatalities occur at night. And so in 3 categories, some solutions. One, there's a little a link in there to the STEP safe transportation for every pedestrian, that matrix of pedestrian countermeasures. And also then they note that the 3 different kind of categories of areas for countermeasures and at intersections, there can be a reduction of in the range of 33 to 38% of intersection fatalities with well-designed lighting. And that can reduce pedestrian injury crashes by 42%. In the pedestrian and bike category, they note that crosswalk visibility enhancements are important and things like rectangular flap. The rural category with roadway departures, curve, you know, delineation with signage, chevrons, that sort of thing. And pavement markings can help reduce crashes in the range of about 20 to 30%. So I thought that was just a good reminder of the importance of nighttime visibility. So I wanted to share that with you.
Thank you, Roger. Any questions or comments?
Looks like Doug has his hand up.
Yes, he did. Doug? Hello, Doug.
Hey, I'm here.
Okay.
We did just have, unfortunately, a pedestrian death right on our main street in the past week. I think it's a pretty well-lit area. I also know that we just added rapid flashing beacon to the area. And we upgraded the signal with the crossing and made the pedestrian crossing what we thought was safer. Sidewalks on both sides, and regardless, at 9:30 at night, someone was killed. I'm saddened by that.
It is sad, and it points to the safe systems concept, where we, you know, as transportation engineers and planners, we do our best to provide the infrastructure, and the other elements of safety are education, enforcement, and emergency response are the kind of the four typical buckets. You know, it's the driver, you know, it's the behavior elements too. We're seeing very commonly with speeding and intoxication and that sort of thing is often an element too. So we're doing our best on the infrastructure side. And, you know, that's what I've kind of pointed out today. So thanks, Doug.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks,
Doug. Then I'll move on. Just one other point, John, if that's okay.
By all means, Roger.
Our regional roundabout screening study that we started about a year ago with CROG, we're well underway with that. With our consultant is VHB, and we want to give an update at a workshop that we have tentatively set for on February 14th at 11 o'clock. That's our subcommittee time. So we'll get more information out as we square that up. But we will share what we've done with our methodology to look at the worthiness of a single lane roundabout at our intersections within our region, and then also our analysis results, what we've after looking at all the data, what we came out with for good roundabout locations. So I know there's been discussion that we've heard from our towns, a lot of interest in roundabouts, so we'll give you an update next month, hopefully.
Excellent. Look forward to that. Elizabeth on the BIL.
Yeah. Hi, Elizabeth Sanderson. Just wanted to point out we have two memos in the packet this week. One is a revised memorandum and application checklist for the RAISE grant with the upcoming date. And Kyle can go into that a little deeper. And then the second memo is a summary of the USDOT recently outlined their schedule, their anticipated schedule for the announcements of upcoming notice of funding opportunities for the year. It's not all inclusive, and the summary memo, which I'll go into detail after Kyle's presentation, will it doesn't include every opportunity or all of the funding opportunities that the DOT listed. It's just CROG specific. Also, just wanted to start up a two-way conversation with members on what applications you might be aware of that have been submitted in your communities. Sometimes the DOT asks us for that information, as well as the CT Built team, which is the BIL team led by Commissioner Boughton. They'll ask for information about what applications have been submitted, and just trying to open up a dialogue on what you might be aware of, even non-transportation related applications that might have been submitted in your towns. And then also, if you have any comments on the format of the memos as they're presented, please just let me know. And these include, you know, the at least the summary memo included embedded hyperlinks, which could be you know, you end up on a rabbit hole of chasing down different websites and information. Maybe it would be easier to have the information presented as attachments or an appendix or something to the memos too, but then it turns into a lengthier memo. So just looking for some feedback on the formats of the documents. So I'll pass it over to Kyle. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. Not much of a substantive update for the RAISE memo. The deadline for the application is February 28th. So if you're planning to submit, you hopefully are well into your application. It's especially if you're doing a capital project application, it's a pretty lengthy and involved process. It involves a benefit cost analysis. So if you're planning to do that and submit by February 28th, hopefully you're well into it. Let us know if you're planning any joint applications. We can possibly be of assistance of that. And we can also, of course, do letters of support, as we're always happy to do. That's about it for RAISE for this time.
Okay. And Elizabeth, you got some more?
Yeah, if Chris, if you wouldn't mind just can you go through the memo up to
I only just have the title page on there. So apologies, but it's not there.
Okay. So I was just going to go over quickly a summary of the key funding opportunities that with the dates that are coming up. Again, it's not a complete list and it's been weeded out to what I thought CROG would be most applicable to the region. The first is Safe Streets and Roads for All grant program. Most of you are probably aware of that. We did the first round last year, and that's going to be expected to come out in April 2023. There's two types of grants that were in the first round, action plan and implementation plan. The second on the list is the Transit-Oriented Development Pilot Program, and that is for site-specific plans, as well as comprehensive plans. That's an FTA program and also linked to capital investment grants programs. So if a project is associated with a capital investment grant program, then this is another opportunity to receive funding as part of a TOD pilot program. The third is the multimodal project discretionary grant opportunity. MPDG is the acronym. And there's three opportunities. There's three programs under this one umbrella. So one application, but you can apply for three different discretionary grant programs. And that would be MEGA, is the National Infrastructure Project Assistance Program. This is likely for projects that generate national or regional economic mobility or safety benefits, projects that are difficult to fund under other programs. So that's the MEGA. Infra is the nationally significant multimodal freight and highway projects. Multimodal freight and highway projects, national or regional significance. And then there is the rural surface transportation grant supports projects that improve and expand surface transportation infrastructure in rural areas to increase connectivity, improve safety and reliability, movement of people and freight, and generate regional economic growth and improve quality of life. So that's upcoming spring 2023. There is $5 billion for the MEGA over the five-year plan, the BIL plan. Infra is $8 billion over that same five-year period, and rural is $2 billion. So I'm not sure what the annual amounts are yet, but quite a bit of money to go around nationally for those programs. The next on the list is Thriving Communities. There was not a lot of information about this round two, but there's information about round one available on our website, as well as a hyperlink to the program website within this document as well. If you're interested in that, that's upcoming in spring. Reconnecting Communities program and Neighborhood Access and Equity Grant program. So this is a program that's focused prioritizing economically disadvantaged communities as the defined per the NOFO. expected to come out late spring 2023. This was one that was the deadline was in October of 2022. So looking forward to an announcement about that. There's a planning grant opportunity for $50 million for fiscal year 2023, and then a capital construction of $148 million for fiscal year 2023. Next on the list is the All Stations Accessibility Program, an FDA program to upgrade accessibility of legacy rail fixed guideway public transportation systems for people with disabilities, bringing stations up to standards of the Americans with Disabilities Act. That's expected to be announced in July of 2023. $350 million for the fiscal year 2023. And then the bridge investment program will be coming back out with the funding amount of about $2.5 billion for fiscal year 2023. And that is focused on existing bridges in poor condition or in fair condition at risk of falling into poor condition. And the railroad crossing elimination program, I believe that one was missing on the list, but Bridge Investment Program, I think was announced in summer 2023. So I'll double check that, and more information will follow. But Railroad Crossing Elimination Program, another FRA, well, that's the FRA program to improve railroad crossings that might be unsafe or affecting mobility of people and goods. That's summer 2023. Consolidated Rail Infrastructure and Safety Improvements Grant Program. That's the CRISI program that CROG did issue two letters of support. One was for Connecticut DOT's phase 3B double track project on the Hartford Springfield New Haven line, as well as the Mass DOT project connecting the Commonwealth was the title of that project. But the CRISI is expected to be announced in fall 2023. And then SMART is another program that was focused on demonstration projects to advance smart city or community technologies and systems. Manchester and Hartford both applied for this, the first round that I'm aware of. And this project had two stages, the stage one planning and prototyping grants, and then an upcoming stage two for implementation grants. $100 million available, expected to be available for fiscal year 2023. And that would be coming out again in fall 2023. And the last one on the list here is the National Culvert Removal Replacement and Restoration Grants, which that application is open still now for fiscal year 2022, closing February 6th, but it's expected to open again in winter 2023-2024, so about a year from now. And that's $800 million for fiscal year 2023. But again, that was somewhat limiting in the fact that it was related to restoring fish passage of anadromous fish. I'm not sure if it'll be the same restrictions for round two, but thank you. If there are any questions, just let me know, or if you have a preference on the format of these memos in the future, let us know. Thank you.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Satoria, the LOTSIP quarterly report.
Great, thank you. And good afternoon, everybody. So this is the quarter two of the LOPSIP quarterly report. So happy to say that I think we're progressing quite along. We had Conduit issued 5 authorization to award letters, and they totaled approximately 11.4 million. And you can see the projects listed below that. To date, the total amount of project awards in the FY 2023 is over 25 million. So I think I'm pretty sure that's the most that we've ever done. So congratulations to all the municipalities. We also have 2 projects that had received authorization to advertise letters, and some of them One of them has already been awarded. Another one has gone out to bid. So that those should be funded for the next quarter, and that's over 4 million. So we should be close to 30 million by the end of the year, maybe even more. So that's just wonderful. And then CROG received 6 quarter two design submissions. We anticipate 10 for quarter three. And there it should be 2 preliminary design submissions, 3 90%, and 5 final design submissions. So we're looking forward to those. 59 projects have been awarded or completed since the program inception. And then 4 project applications were submitted to conduct this quarter. And I anticipate submitting substantially more, at least 6 I know of that need to be submitted that I need to finish reviewing and submit to conduct. So that's really great that the towns and municipalities are advancing those projects. And then one town received a commitment to fund letter, and that was Weathersfield for Heritage Trail Project Phase 1. And I didn't have any scheduling updates for this quarter, although some municipalities were required to make updates, but they were some of the same reasons, so I didn't list it on this report. But it's great news. So congratulations to everybody.
Well, thank you, Satori. And it's great news because of the efforts of you and your staff working with the town. So congratulations to you all.
Thank you.
Kara, you want to do the obligated projects list and then the website?
Absolutely. So every year we are federally required to share publicly a list of all of the projects that received federal funding within our region within a given fiscal year. So we have received from the DOT and now posted both with these meeting materials and on our website, the obligated projects list for federal fiscal year 2022. Just a couple high level bits of information about it. We saw a total of $318 million worth of projects obligated in the region. That is an increase. The previous 3 years had all been right around $250 million. So that's quite an increase up to 318. About 5% of the funding was spent on bike ped projects. And in terms of the biggest projects that we saw in the region, there was a project that was within not just our region, but throughout District 1 that was doing beam end repairs for guide rails on highway bridges. There was all, and that was $33.5 million. There was also $31.4 million spent on CT transit bus replacements, and then $20 million on rehab for the Dexter Coffin Bridge in Windsor Locks. So those were our three biggest that were obligated during that time period. But it does kind of really show the increase in transportation funding coming through the region with that $318 million total. So the full list is available online, organized by town, if anyone wants to check out what we spent in their town that year.
Thank you, Kara.
And then moving on, as you mentioned, Matt's in Washington, D.C. for a conference right now. So we're skipping the executive director update. And the only item we had under other was letting everyone know the new CROG website went live just about a week ago. We had heard some feedback that some folks were having a hard time getting to some information that they had previously had access to. We have been addressing all of those as quickly as we can. If you do find any challenges with the website, please do let a staff member know so that we can make sure that it is working as you all need it to be working.
Thank you. Thank you all. Thank you, staff. There are no TIP amendments this time around. Correct. And so, Roger, we'll go to you on your annual safety performance targets.
Okay, thank you, John. So We are looking for action for the committee to endorse CONDOT's 5 safety targets. The details of the how they got to the 5, their analysis was in our last month's documents. We have this resolution that's on the screen in front of you as a document, and it has the 5 safety targets. They are, CONDOT is using the target metrics this year are the same as last year. I don't have actuals for 2022 other than the fatalities. Currently, you see the target for next year in 2023, the fatalities. Of course, we want to get as close to zero as we can. Realistically, we have a target of 270 there on the screen at number one. Last year's, unfortunately, in Connecticut, we had 385 fatalities, which was very high. So I just wanted to share that. So otherwise, looking for endorsement of this, that would then go to policy board for approval of this resolution.
Thank you, Roger. Any questions of Roger? If not, I would entertain a motion to approve this resolution.
Patrice Carson, so moved.
Thank you, Patrice. Is there a second?
Larry Burrell, second.
Thank you, Larry. Any further discussion on the resolution? Hearing none, all in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? The motion approved as distributed. Okay, back to Satoria and to funding increase requests for LHTSA.
Okay, thank you, John. So the town of Bloomfield is requesting a LHTSA scope modification and a funding transfer request of $1.6 million and a little bit more of the $1.934 from 2 previously approved transportation committee approved LHTSA pavement rehabilitation projects. They're located on Woodland Avenue, and the town wishes to transfer the funding to a traffic calming project located on the same roadway. So the goal of the project is to improve safety for all users, especially for the pedestrians, bicyclists, and residents, and to improve the quality of life factors in the neighborhood. Woodland Avenue is also identified in the Capital Region Complete Streets Plan, and if approved, the town will concede to limit any award in the 2023 LHTSA solicitation and cap it at $2.7 million. So the previously approved project, there were 2 pavement rehabilitation projects. The first was a Woodland, and both of them were on Woodland Avenue. The first was approved for $900,000 under the 2013 solicitation for a mill and overlay. And the second was approved under the 2015 solicitation for $1,034,000 for a full depth project rehabilitation. And it also included an 800-foot sidewalk gap. After the town concluded its geotechnical investigation, it was determined that the original proposal required a full depth reconstruction, and this doubled the construction cost. So because of the accelerated deterioration, the town decided to complete the 2 projects with town funds, and then they wanted to instead transfer the funding to a different project on the same roadway. And so the traffic calming was a result of a 2019 townwide traffic calming study, and Woodland Avenue was one of the first areas identified to implement this measure. And the town is proposing to install traffic calming measures at 10 locations along a 9,250 feet of Woodland Avenue. And this is in a residential neighborhood between Winterberry Avenue and Peters Road. The the town proposes 7 offset chokers or modified chicanes developed by the town. This was inspired by the state of Delaware. And then there's a photo included in this memo and the installation of 3 raised intersections. They'll also close the 800-foot sidewalk gap proposed in the original project, as well as replacing some of the significantly deteriorated sidewalk that's included in the project. So staff recommends committee approval of a loss of funding transfer of the 1.6 million of the 1.9 million that was previously awarded to the 2 Woodland Avenue pavement rehabilitation projects, and to transfer the funding to a traffic calming project on the same roadway between Wintonberry Avenue and Peters Road. And then any award will be in the 2023 solicitation will be capped at 2.7 million. And we also recommend a new LOTSIP application for conduct approval.
Move approval and give the town a lot of credit for being creative.
Thank you, Peter. I'll entertain a second and then see if Jonathan wants to add anything. Is there a second to Peter's
motion? Second.
Thank you. Peter, Jonathan, anything you want to add?
Not too much. I mean, I think Satori did a very good job of summarizing what we're looking to do. I guess I would just add that, you know, at the same time, kind of as the original projects were being, you know, applications went in, the town did implement a full pavement preservation program, which has been very successful. We've been improving our you know, pavement condition rating every year. And we think, you know, and that's kind of what prompted that we needed to do the whole roadway, and the original projects didn't cover the whole roadway, but we do are confident that, you know, with our pavement preservation program, that we will keep.
Chris Edge, how are you?
That we will keep our, you know, be able to keep the pavement in Woodland Avenue, you know, at a condition it needs to be in. And so that's where also where we felt that getting going to the traffic calming, which has become very important in Bloomfield and many other towns, was important for Woodland Avenue.
Thank you, Jonathan. Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, we have a motion on the floor. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Any abstentions? The motion is approved. John Downey Drive in New Britain.
Okay, thank you. And thank you for the approval of the Bloomfield project. So this is the City of New Britain is requesting a LOTSIP funding increase of 2.5 million from the 2.9 from 2.9 to the approved cap amount of 5.5. As you recall, back in October, we went through different thresholds, and one of the capped amount was 5.5 for any LOTSIP project. So the preliminary design engineer's estimate is actually for 5.6, 74, 9.8, and the city is proposing to fund the amount exceeding the cap, and that's currently estimated at $174,918. And the project was actually approved under the 2020 solicitation for 2.9. It was issued a commitment to fund letter for 3.2 million and has progressed, as noted before, to the preliminary design phase. And the city is also returning approximately $550,000 to the LOTSIP program from savings of a previous project, which was East Main Street LOTSIP project, and then the number is listed there. So the cost increase is a result of inclusion of additional safety improvements and substantially higher unit prices due to inflation. So during the plan advancement and in consideration of issues raised at the public outreach session, the city decided to incorporate 3 notable safety-related design changes. So first was an approach lane was needed to alleviate the long westbound queuing on South Street at John Downey Drive during peak periods. This resulted in the need of $350,000 for a signal replacement because of the age of the signal. And secondly, the city initial proposed road diet was going from 48 feet to 26 feet. They thought it was too aggressive and at the public meeting. And so the city changed it to a width of 32 feet, and that was determined to be more appropriate. This additional 6 feet of roadway was, addressed the safety concerns of the passenger vehicles and also navigating through an industrial area with high truck volumes. So this allowed for the 5 foot bike lanes and the 26% increase in the road width was amounted to $205,667. And also the city decided to add signal modifications at the Newington to the Newington Avenue at Downey, John Downey Drive intersection because the pedestrian signals needed to be upgraded to be in compliance with the American Disabilities Act. This was a state-owned signal and it was expected to be upgraded by the state, but their milling and paving was completed shortly before the application was submitted. So the upgrades fell to the city amounting to additional cost of $60,000. In addition to the three design changes, unit prices also increased. Specifically, the granite curbing increased from $40 per linear foot to $70 per linear foot. That created a $522,370 increase. And then the multi-use trail costs were underestimated in the application by $265,582. So, and then also the unit costs increased for general items to $377,630. So all of this plus the increases based on the percentage based items amounted to $742,243. So this is a real comprehensive project, as you can see. So in order to incorporate the costs associated with additional safety improvements and substantially higher unit prices due to inflation, staff recommends committee approval of an additional $2.509,600 of lots of funding for the New Britain Safety Improvements Project, increasing the funding approval from $2,990,400 to $5.5 million, capping the project funds at 5.5. And this is an estimated city share of $174,908 and returning approximately $550,000 to the lots of program from a previously constructed project. It's a lot.
Thank you, Satoria. Folks from New Britain, do you want to add anything?
Yeah, I do, John. I'm not sure, Mark, were you going to talk at all, or do you want me to?
You start, and maybe I'll add some at the end.
Okay. So, John, obviously, this is a big ask. You know, Satoria did a good job explaining what we're looking for and why we're looking for it. But a big part of it had to do with our mayor's initial public outreach. She did quite a bit of social media outreach, and we got a lot of responses from the public, which initiated the change at South Street, the addition of the left turn lane. And there were a lot of concerns. We were a little aggressive in our application with the road diet, and a lot of people expressed concern about that. So we really felt we needed to increase the road from what we had originally applied for. The third thing, the traffic signal on Newington Avenue. So the state had done a mill and pave there. We fully expected they would upgrade the ramps and intersection signal to meet current standards, and they just never did it. So we know they're going to ask for us to do it. So we included it in our preliminary design. And then the biggest cost increases were really, this was kind of a pre-COVID, lots of application. And I think the unit prices, we're seeing the brunt of the unit prices on this project because of it. In addition, the consultant we had prepare the LOTSIP application really underestimated the multi-use trail. They didn't estimate it in the way we usually estimate, and that resulted in a pretty significant increase. So we realize it's a big ask, but these are the reasons why we're asking for it.
Thank you, Rob. Mark, you want to add anything?
Yeah, I guess echoing what Rob said, I realize it's a big ask. I guess even with us going with a slightly wider road, it's still a 16-foot road diet. So it's a substantial reduction. I'm happy that it isn't a change that really I think would have affected the scoring. So we're not changing any of that design elements. And the one thing I think there is the addition of a added traffic signal, which is a significant part of it. And the one thing we didn't catch in the application, we did do a good review of the application, but we missed the miscalculation on the pavement mount for the multi-use trail. So we feel a little bad about that one, especially because I think Rob and his group has done such a good job keeping our costs right where we estimate them historically. And like Satoria mentioned, we delivered the last project $550,000 under, but that's all.
Thank you both. Any comments or questions from the Britton or Satoria?
Russ Arnold, motion to approve.
Motion is made to approve. Is there a second?
Second. Steve Soplak, Rocky Hill.
Motion is made and seconded. Any further discussion on the motion or the project? Hearing none, seeing none, all in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention?
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, everyone.
Thank you very much.
Motion's approved. Good work all around. Kara, any other business?
No, I guess just a reminder to everyone that the February meeting will be on the 14th. That is a Tuesday because of the back-to-back Monday holidays in February. So a little atypical, but it was on the 2023 schedule. But and Chris put it in pink because it is also Valentine's Day. So hope to see everyone there. Will be a virtual meeting.
And you anticipate a cost review meeting as well for the
roundabout? Yes, at 11, and that'll be the roundabouts workshop.
Okay.
Also virtual.
Again, thank you all. Thank you, staff, for all your marvelous work and assistance. And I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Thank you, Patrice. Is there a second?
Even in Capoway, second.
Thank you all. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
We stand adjourned. Be well and be safe, and we'll see you on the 14th.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Bye-bye.